This program is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those wishing to go deeper into classic Christianity, with resources available in a connected age, online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 56. Today is part one of our review of a sermon preached by Jeremiah Burroughs entitled, Christ is All in All. Welcome to Finding Hidden Treasure, an ongoing discussion of resources available for those looking to go deeper into classic Christianity. We have a way of praising those persons or things that we love. The 19th century English poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning captured this so well in her sonnet 43. This classic poem begins with, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." If you go on and read the sonnet, Elizabeth Barrett Browning covers the heights and depths of telling others about the one she loves. You don't have to be a 19th century poet to do that. In our everyday 21st century lives, we often hear those who, quite voluntarily and quite joyfully, tell us about their favorite movies, hobbies, foods, and persons they love. In light of this, how much more should a Christian be able to address our Lord in prayer and say to Him, "How do I love Thee? Let me count the ways." Today is part one of an episode in which we will be looking at the sermon, Christ is All in All, preached by the 17th century English minister Jeremiah Burroughs, in which he asks, in essence, the same question that Elizabeth Barrett Browning would ask two centuries later. Jeremiah Burroughs was born in England in the year 1600. He was tutored by the famous Puritan Thomas Hooker. Burroughs was admitted to Emmanuel College, Cambridge, in the year 1617, from which he obtained a bachelor's degree in 1621 and a Master of Arts degree in 1624. He entered into the work of the ministry, serving as a pastor's assistant, first in Suffolk, followed by a work as a rector in Norfolk. He lost his position in Norfolk since, due to conscience, he could not obey the order from his bishop to read from King James's The Book of Sports. This text declared dancing, archery, and other recreations permissible on Sunday, or, as the Puritans called that day, the Lord's Day. Jeremiah Burroughs lived in Rotterdam in the Netherlands from 1638 to 1640. He served there as a teacher to a congregation of expatriate English citizens who were religiously independent, that is, independent from the Church of England. He returned to England in 1640. He served as a pastor of two of the largest congregations in London, Stepney and St. Giles Cripplegate. He was invited to preach before the House of Commons and the House of Lords several times. Jeremiah Burroughs also served as a member of the Westminster Assembly, which began its work in 1643. The Assembly produced the Westminster Confession of Faith, as well as the Westminster Shorter and Longer Catechisms. Fellow Puritan Thomas Brooks called him a prince of preachers. Burroughs had the reputation of being a moderating force, especially between the Independents and the Presbyterians. This is demonstrated in the fact that several of his biographers note a motto which is connected with Burroughs. Above his study door was a motto written in Latin and Greek. Translated into English, it reads, "Difference of belief and unity of believers is not inconsistent." Burroughs sought for the balance of recognizing and affirming genuine Christian faith being present in other denominations, with also affirming the unity of the global church. Burroughs died in London on November 13, 1646, from complications resulting from a fall from his horse. Let's get a look at Burroughs' sermon, Christ is All in All, preached on Sunday, March 28, 1641. The text of the sermon is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, which reads, "Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." The sermon is quite simply a long string of praises given to and about Christ, as well as Burroughs' reflection on them. He uses the example of the Apostle Paul as one whose life was dominated by his thoughts, words, and actions aimed at honoring Christ. Burroughs said, "The Apostle Paul was a chosen vessel to bear the name of Christ, to carry it up and down in the world. Indeed, his spirit was full of Christ. He desired to know nothing but Christ, to preach nothing but Christ, to be found in none but Christ. The very name of Christ was delightful to him. He seeks to magnify Christ in all of his epistles And in these words I read to you, he omnifies Christ. He does not only make him great, but he makes them all. There are a few things to note here. The way in which Jeremiah Burroughs describes Christ is in, for lack of a better term, words of overflowing praise and joy. We see here how Burroughs described Paul's attitude toward Christ. The very name of Christ was delightful to Paul. We also see a word which has fallen out of use in the English language. It is the word omnify. It is defined by dictionary.com as to render universal, to enlarge. Burroughs makes an interesting point in using this term. The root of the word is omni, which means all. Paul was not content to merely make Christ great. He wanted to make him all in his life. A good question to ask ourselves, now that we know about this old word, which is new to us, do we omnify Christ, that is, make him all in our lives? Burroughs continued his sermon by reminding his hearers, and later those who would read the sermon, of Christ's unique position. As a result, Christ is described with terms which describe uniqueness, terms such as all, only, or the definite article the. Burroughs said, "As far as God sees Christ in anyone, he accepts them. If Christ is not there, no matter what they have, he does not regard them." Christ and only Christ is the basis for our being accepted by God. No other person, object, or work on our part or by any other mere human can be the cause of our acceptance with God. That is found only if we are in Christ. I've heard teachers in my past who have encouraged us to be imitators of God. That's not a bad goal. Actually, quite the opposite. It's a good and necessary goal for each and every believer in Christ. However, how many times have you been taught what Burroughs teaches us and emphasizes here? He says, "Christ is all in all, even in the esteem of the Father himself. He was the delight of the Father from all eternity." See Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 30. "And the Father undertook infinite contentment in him upon his willingness to undertake this blessed work of the redemption of mankind." God the Father is infinitely satisfied in Christ. He is all in all to him. Surely, if Christ is an object sufficient for the satisfaction of the Father, much more then is he an object sufficient for the satisfaction of any soul. Burroughs teaches us that one way of imitating God the Father, of being godlike, is to love and find utter delight in Christ. Burroughs stressed Christ's role as the mediator between God and us. He said, "This which I am to preach to you now, namely, God's communicating himself in his mercy to mankind through a mediator, is the very sum of the gospel, the great mystery of godliness. It is the chief part of the mind and counsel of God that he would have made known to the children of men in this world. This is the great message that the ministers of the gospel have to bring, and it is the most absolutely necessary point in all theology." I think that even in Christian circles, we sometimes forget the biblical truth that the only, and then once again we have uniqueness language with the word only, but that the only way for us to relate to God favorably is through the intercession of Christ. This is something we need to take with the seriousness of the prospect of either eternal life or eternal damnation. We must realize that every human being who has ever lived, lives today, or will live in the future has a relationship to God. You might be thinking by hearing that I've gone a bit too far with that statement. However, I am not saying that every human being who has ever lived will find eternal life. What I am saying is that every human who has ever lived has either a relationship with God of being in his favor or his disfavor. To be in God's favor, one must be in Christ. To say that Burroughs held the mediatorship of Christ as being important is actually an understatement. Our eternity rests on this. He said, "That which I shall this day endeavor is to show you something of the glory of God shining in this truth, that God communicates himself through a mediator, through his Son. It is absolutely necessary for you to know if you would have eternal life. It is possible to be ignorant of many other truths and still be saved, but there must be something of this, or there can be no salvation." Burroughs has what I believe is a keen insight in what we'll be looking at next. There are those who understand that their lives are not being lived out rightly. They correctly see themselves as sinful and desperately in need of God's mercy. The fact that they understand their need isn't quite enough, though. Many will agree with God that they need mercy. However, many will disagree with God on how to obtain that mercy. Burroughs said, "The mistake in this very thing is the miscarriage and the eternal undoing of thousands upon thousands of souls. Many believe that they have need of and can never be saved without God's mercy. The light of nature convinces us of this, but they are ignorant of and do not see the reality of this truth, that God communicates his mercy through a mediator. They miscarry and perish eternally with cries to God for mercy because they come to God, but not through a mediator." Jeremiah Burroughs also observed that though we might honor God with correct titles, any honor given him outside of Christ falls short. He distinguishes between a natural honor given to God, that is, one which is plain from the observable world around us, and contrasts it to a spiritual honor given to our great God. See how Burroughs makes his case. He said, "Indeed, it is the great honor that God would have in the world to be honored in his Son and in the great design he has of bringing forth glorious things by his Son. And therefore, though we know never so much of God and would honor him merely as the creator of heaven and earth, yet God does not accept that honor. That is only to honor him in a natural way. We never know what it is to honor God correctly so as to be accepted by him until we come to honor him in an evangelical way, to honor him in his Son. Yet the greatest honor he has from most in this world, even from multitudes in the very church of God who hear the mystery of Christ open to them, is offered to him merely in a natural way and not in the spiritual evangelical service of God." He expanded this by showing a passage of Scripture which chains together references to us, then to Christ, and then to God the Father. Burroughs observed the following, "There is no coming to the Father but by Christ. He is the way. The Apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours." How is that? Mark it. "All are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God." God the Father is the principle of all good. All comes from him first, but it does not come from him immediately. He does not say, "All are yours, for you are God's, because you have an interest in God. All therefore comes to be yours." No, but all is yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So you see here how Christ comes between you and God. Once more, a great reminder that any attempt to have a favorable relationship with God apart from Christ is impossible. Burroughs reminds us also of a present-day ministry of Christ to those of his beloved on earth. It appears to me that in many church circles today, the work of Christ in the past and the work of Christ in the future at his return to earth is continually being taught. These things are true and need to continue to be taught. However, they are incomplete as they stand. These teachings stress the past and future work of Christ, but not his present day and yet even present moment ministry to his saints. We need to recognize what Jeremiah Burroughs and others have understood throughout church history, namely that Christ has an ongoing, current, present day ministry of intercession to God on behalf of his people. Know what Burroughs says about this. "He, that is Christ, is the way of conveying good to us by his intercession, for he is now and shall forever be at the right hand of the Father in glory, making intercession for his people. That is, he is continually presenting before the Father the work of his mediation, his merits, and what he has done and suffered, and is, as it were, pleading with his Father for the conveyance of all needful mercy and good unto the souls and bodies of his people whom he has redeemed." Jeremiah Burroughs understood that a believer in Christ is comforted by knowing that the Lord Jesus loves not only his church in the collective sense, but each and every individual who makes up the church. Here's what he taught about this in his preaching. "Know that Christ thinks not only of the lump of believers in general, but particularly of every believer, and is continually presenting his infinite merits before the Father to plead with him to supply of all grace and mercy to us. How comforting to know that as Christ intercedes for the church, he intercedes for each and every member of that church individually, as well as collectively. I will be providing links to Jeremiah Burroughs' sermon on the Restoring the Core webpage for this episode. Our next episode will be the conclusion of this examination of the sermon, Christ is All in All. Let me close with a reminder that Jeremiah Burroughs gives us in this sermon. The reminder is that we as believers should not keep our affections distant from Christ. He is not simply the get-out-of-hell provider for those who trust in him. Christ is our life, both here and hereafter. He is our all in all. Please ponder the depth of what Burroughs says here. This shows how dear Jesus Christ should be to us. Oh, how we should delight and take contentment in him who brings the treasuries of grace from the bosom of the Father and opens them to us. And he not only opens the mind of God the Father to us, but comes and lets out the treasure of God's goodness to us. It was stopped before, but Christ opens the floodgates and lets the current of grace and mercy in upon us. Oh, how dear then should Christ be to us. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We're on Facebook at www.facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active and can be found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. We hope you will join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.